Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
Tanner, I've got to ask you a question, Tanner.
Yeah.
Because this needs to be on the record, as it were. How do you like your toast cut?
How do I like my toast cut?
We haven't asked a guest that in like 8 months.
Do you cut toast?
Do you have the piece? Do you cut it diagonally, horizontally, or vertically?
If I was to cut toast, I would probably cut it diagonally. That would be my answer. But I would normally I just eat the toast. Very rarely do we cut toast here in Texas.
You can just take a bite straight out of it.
So. That's what I'm saying. Like
that's a perfectly legit reason. It's just that, you know, toast cake was a thing last year, as we all know.
It was. With having Tanner here, I'm surprised you didn't ask about Texas toast, to be honest.
Well, Texas toast is a thing.
What is Texas toast, Tanner?
Oh, it's some buttery goodness. That's for sure. It's basically, instead of putting it in a toaster and doing all this,
you fry it.
You butter fry it kind of just in a skillet. You kind of just make sure it's nice and it's thick cut, very thick cut piece of toast that you.
Isn't it just garlic bread? Am I?
Yeah, it's garlic.
The biggest insult I've ever issued.
Garlic bread. Chef, no, Graham.
Yeah, garlic bread sans garlic. It does not require garlic, but there are quite a few who.
Without the garlic element.
So you,
if you got Texas toast at an Italian restaurant, it would have garlic on it.
So Texas toast is a piece of bread fried in oil, basically.
I don't want to say it's fried in oil. It's more often with butter.
It's still fried. You're talking about fried bread.
It's pan fried in butter.
It's not fried bread. It's way thicker than that. It's like a wedge. Like, fried bread is just a slice of bread. It's way thicker than that. It's hand cut.
Hannah, when I come to America next, which is in 10 weeks' time, you can come to Florida and make me some Texas toast.
Am I going to get the money to go to Florida?
I'm joking, of course. But maybe you should give an example on Techers at some point, perhaps.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's...
That's not like a fair deal.
My favorite aspect right now of Techers. I come for the football, but I stay for the food talk.
You stay for the food.
This has all been... But I'm going to put this after the credit, Graham, this bit. So.
No! Boo! Well, you're going to edit it, so I don't care.
I'm going to edit it, because this deserves to go at the end, because we've actually introduced Tanner here at Graham.
That's fine.
No, we've got to do it properly.
We have to do the same show. Hey, welcome to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 166. You already know we got Tanner here. There you go. You don't need to worry about editing now. Hi, Tanner. How are you?
Howdy. Thank you, boys, for having me on. This is great.
These are the best. These used to be my favorite openings on Five Nerds Go. Like, it'd be 10 minutes before anything's even happened, or they're like, oh, here we are, we're doing the podcast.
Like, I listened to one episode of Five Nerds Go, and it was like 45 minutes of Fowl playing the guitar. And I was like, what the fuck?
Fowl's amazing.
Fowl is amazing. No disrespect at all to Fowl, because I completely love him. But I was like, isn't there a quiz or some wrestling talk somewhere in here?
I remember that episode. That was great. Yeah, we don't have to follow a set format. We've done enough episodes now where we can just roll with it. We can just mix it up a little bit. That works fine.
Yeah. Hang loose.
Matt, I normally introduce our guest, but obviously as you've got your boss here today, I think it's only fair that you do the...
At what point did anyone say Tanner is my boss?
I think you said it last week.
Tongue-in-cheek.
I'm gonna plead the fifth.
Me, Tanner, and Meg have an equal freeway relationship.
That might be how
Wait,
you
that
perceive
sounds
it.
Wrong.
from an outside point looking in, that's not how I perceive it at all. But go ahead. You do your introduction however you like, okay?
Okay, sisters, brothers, and non-binary others, please welcome to the Good Cop, Bad Cop Studios, the man without whom I would be just jabbing like a school child about football most Sundays. The tech gentleman himself, Tanner Pruitt.
Howdy, everybody. How's it going?
Indeed. And, of course, Tanner, you first started your podcasting with Techers, of course, on VGM, of course. So it's like coming home for you a bit in a way.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I started podcasting way before, you know, Techers. But I mean, when we came up with the idea for Radio Techers, it was, you know, it was one of those things where, well, how do we get this to the masses? And yeah, Visionaries was a great place, you know, thanks to Mags and his connections and your connections, obviously, you know, to facilitate spreading the love and joy of football to the wrestling community.
And to be fair, it's starting to take off a little bit as well. So much so that we, of course, spun Techers out to its own entity, of course. But of course, before that, you have your chops in wrestling, very much so, because of course you were the boss of Headlock Talk. Rest in peace.
Yeah, the recently retired Headlock Talk show, which is a lot of fun. It mostly came to an end because I moved, which was unfortunate. But you know, hey, that's life. You know, Headlock Talk is a great experience. And, you know, you never say never. You know, Headlock Talk could always come back in some form or fashion.
Indeed. That's why I always say, talk of a table's on hiatus. It's not retired. I'll bring it off the shelf one day when it needs to be done. But
yes,
at the moment, there is enough wrestling content I'm involved with to leave it on that shelf. It's all good.
Well, if you're not going to mention the connection, I'm going to mention the connection. So obviously last week's guest was Ori from A Change in Attitude. Uh-huh. And obviously this week as well, we've had Mags on as well already. So this is the final part of the A Change in Attitude podcast as well. So it's not like you're not doing wrestling. He makes you sound like you're retired, Tanner, like you're gardening and just relaxing, putting your feet up. You're still doing a weekly wrestling podcast. Yeah. I would obviously Ori already told us about that podcast last week, but if there's anything you want to add, you're certainly welcome to, but you obviously still talk wrestling each week as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, and I'm glad that you saved the best for last, of course, you know. Mm-hmm. This is the ongoing rivalries within A Change in Attitude is a lot of fun, but no, with all you know, earnesty here, that Mags and Ori are both fantastic, and I'm just happy to be along for the ride.
It was so good to talk to Ori last week. I have forgotten, I said last week, because I always go on a marathon with you guys. I do 10 episodes at a time, and that's how I used to do Badlands as well. And I totally forgot. After we got off air, there was like different things going on, and then it was like, I totally forgot. So that's on my to-do list today. So my podcast list currently is at zero. Last couple of days, I've worked through everything. So yeah, so I need to get that. I need to get that marathon going for this weekend, I think.
Well, Graham, if you want something to get your earbuds on right now, I've got the perfect thing to listen to, Graham.
I'm not listening to Dungeons and Junkies. That's not happening.
I wasn't saying that, was I? No. God, putting words in my mouth or what?
Is this going to be a promotion for Volley, which you can find on Radio Techers Network by any chance?
The Volley.
Oh, sorry, The Volley.
The Volley is great, don't get me wrong, but I was referring, Graham, to the Pipe Bombshell podcast.
Oh, okay.
Of course, if you get a chance to tell us at some point, Jiggy and Troy are amazing.
Oh, okay.
They really, really are two of the best podcasters in the Philippines, for sure. And we've had them on our show, and we've been on their show. It's a wonderful time, for sure.
Proud Patreon supporter here of the Pipe Shop. Pipe Shop. Look, jeez, I can't talk. Of their podcast. I'm not going to try it for the third time, having failed miserably.
That's staying in, Graham.
You know, that's the wonderful thing about podcasting, is you can kind of travel the world and meet different people and not even leave the comfort of your own home. You know,
it's the weirdest thing that in this last year, last 2 years nearly, as I think on the pre-show with the pandemic, is that we've been forced to stay at home, and yet we probably network more than ever and have technically traveled the world even more so. I mean, given how crystal clear the audio is nowadays with all the devices, because they had to be for all the meeting people having on Zoom and stuff, it feels like sometimes I'm in the same room literally with Mags and Tanner when I'm doing Techers, and when I'm doing Good Cop Bad Cop with Graham,
or when I'm talking with my brother. Okay, his audio's not quite so good. He's using a phone. He's not using a laptop or anything, but it's wonderful. I mean, even if Graham doesn't listen to Dungeons & Junkies, I know you don't, but given now you've got me where I am, and you've got two people in Cornwall, you've got someone in the middle of Leicestershire, and you've got someone in the middle of Wisconsin on the same court, and it sounds like they're in the same room. It works. And good podcasting, we hear that all the time. And it's brilliant.
I was waiting for you to mock me. I thought this was just a cheap jibe so you could mention the fact that I still use my phone for MGB, and I'm using my internal mic on my laptop right now to record Good Cop, Bad Cop. No. I was waiting for it. I was like, all right, it's coming. Go on, bring it on.
No, not at all. Not at all. My brother just happens to... Sorry, Jane, I'm roasting a little bit here. He had a Hands Freak, which has a really rubbish microphone on it.
But that's
just one little thing. He can fix that. It's all good.
Is that an Apple product?
No, actually. Okay. Actually, Android.
Oh, okay. Just
Apple products rule. 2/3 of this podcast is run by Apple. And we're not sponsored either.
Wink, wink.
Wink, 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 wink. The ghost of Steve Jobs appears.
We get caught up in this sponsorship wrangling. How about we talk some wrestling? Shall we move on to our good cop section?
Let's do this, Graham.
Good! Bad!
Hey, Maxi. Do you think people listening to this show like wrestling podcasts?
I would hope that they do, because they're listening to one.
Do you think they would like our wrestling podcast?
Well, if you could call it a wrestling podcast, because we cover the gamut of topics. We have food takes, we talk about movies, and we intertwine that with watching a little bit of the cool wrestling.
We do indeed. This is Cy and Max from the Chain Wrestling Podcast. You can find us at Chain_Wrestling on Twitter. Quite proud of our little show that we do. It seems to make a few people giggle. So if you're interested in listening to two silly plonkers ramble on about some old wrestling and then maybe have a little vote in a poll to decide where we go next, why don't you give us a try? What do you reckon, Max?
Yep, if that sounds like your cup of tea, go and check out our content on Visionaries Global Media.
There we go. I think that'll do, Maxie, won't it?
Brilliant.
Yeah,
same. See, look at that. We can ad lib and everything.
Bad. Guests always get to go first. So, Tanner, what would you like to share with us? What was your main good cop moment of the week?
Oh, man. So for those who don't know, I am a huge fan of Japanese professional wrestling. And this week we had a major return of Katsuyori Shibata to New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's been out since April of 2017 because of a subdermal hematoma, which forced him into retirement in the middle of his match with Kazuchika Okada. And then at the G1 finals earlier this week, Zack Sabre Jr. walked down the ramp, just kind of casually stood in the ring, and then Katsuyori Shibata came out, and they wrestled a 5-minute exhibition match that was really well done for just 5 minutes. And after the match was over, Shibata picked up the microphone and said, "Next time it'll be a match." And it was mind blowing for a man who just had a severe brain injury and was told he would never wrestle again to step foot back in the ring as a performer and not as a trainer is fantastic.
Now, I'm going to guess then I know Japan's obviously very different from American wrestling. I'm going to guess then they didn't hype it like they would have done for like SmackDown. Coming on SmackDown this week, the return. So this was a total shock for everybody then. So people in the ring, people, okay. Isn't that much better when they do it that way?
Yeah, because it was like 100% unexpected. You see Zack Sabre Jr., you're like, okay, this is probably going to be a good match. And then you see Shibata, and it's like, what? is this okay? And yeah, he went out there. Again, he didn't take a lot of bumps. This was very much a technical Greco-Roman style match, but the technical acumen was just like, it was impeccable. Like, his submission work is magical.
Matt, you've been watching any New Japan this week?
I've got to admit, I heard about Shibata coming back. I heard the stories about how amazing he was, and the fact that he wasn't killed, and he, even though, as you say, exhibition, wow.
Mm.
Just wow. Oh, yeah.
If you can find it, if you can find the highlights of it, or even just like if you have New Japan World itself and you could go watch it, it's amazing. I mean, Shibata was one of my all-time favorites before he retired, and the fact that he came back after years of training at the New Japan dojo here in the States, you know, this is just a complete surprise and just like a really good feel-good moment.
I unfortunately didn't watch any New Japan, so I'm going to have to stay out of this one. I did try and listen. I caught a little bit, so like I said, I've been catching up on podcasts. I was listening to Band from Ringside because they did like a 40-minute. So I kind of caught a little story. So I heard a little thing. So pieces of this, I'm like, at least I recognize this story now. I do not recognize that wrestler, unfortunately. And that's not somebody. I certainly wasn't watching anything to do with New Japan at that time at all.
You've seen Okada in action?
I have seen Okada, correct, yes. My experience is pretty much limited to our G1 that we saw in a WrestleMania weekend, Matt, yeah. That's where I've got most of my names from, but yeah. I did a very poor job of saying I'm going to make a much better job of trying to watch some New Japan. I have not followed through on that promise.
Well, Tanner, thank you so much for bringing it back to his frontal lobe so he can... No excuse for not getting back into watching it at some point.
Mm-hmm. So as Tana's done Japanese wrestling, I'm going to assume that your good cop moment is probably Saudi wrestling then, right, Matt?
You would think so. No, I'm going for another medical miracle, actually, Graham.
Okay.
Most people will be aware of a WWE Hall of Famer who this year was in hospital. This being, of course, the legend is Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Mm-hmm.
Quoted by his wife on Twitter, back where we don't want to be, please pray for Jim and his doctors as he had an emergency surgery this morning. Thank you, Deborah. And there's just a picture of him hooked up to machines on his side. I generally thought that he was going to be gone. I thought, okay, this is really not one eulogy I want to do for Good Cop, Bad Cop, because I love Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first winner of Royal Rumble, man who really should have been a WWE champion at some point, in my personal opinion. He didn't hold anywhere near the amount of gold he should have done for someone who connected with a fan base. I mean, Tanner, you obviously, as an American yourself, you get what it's all about to wave old glory and to be passionate about the country you're in and chant the whole USA, USA thing. There is some amount of pride about that, isn't there?
Man, you're really painting me like as a, as a very patriotic person.
Well, to be fair, you do love your country. You just don't love some of the people in it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that... There is definitely a certain level of pride that one takes when you wave the flag, you know, of old glory, you know, the American flag. Yeah, I mean, I think that Hacksaw Jim Duggan inspired a lot of people to get not only into wrestling, but he inspired a lot of people in general. His story is one of inspiration. I can't find another word for it, but he's for his time. A very good wrestler, and as you put it, he certainly deserved more out of his career, I believe.
He never won a championship in WWE at all. He didn't win one at all in WWE at any point.
As if we're an audio podcast, Tanner, what's that picture behind you right now?
This is actually the skyline of Paris, France.
Okay, so not America at all.
I don't know if anybody's ever noticed it before, but yeah, if you watch the Radio Techers in the background, you'll always see this, and it's actually there's the Eiffel Tower right over
there.
Yeah.
I've never seen that part of your picture before. So the camera's been panned out. I've never seen the top part before ever.
I got one more question because obviously people can't tell. What shirt are you wearing today?
This is a Pink Floyd shirt.
Is that an American band for people who aren't familiar?
No, it's very much a British band, an English band, of being more specific.
There's a Brit living in America.
Just trying to make that connection that although you painted Tanner as the American, like he's got cultural things around him that you can see are clearly not American. I would understand you wanted to take advantage of that for sure. Which state is Jim Duggan from? If he's from Texas, I apologize. I don't know.
You know, that's a great question. I don't think he's from Texas.
If I had to guess, I would guess Texas, just because of, like Matt said, that patriotic side. I tend to associate that with certain states, and Texas would be one of those states that I would go for. And the fact that he's kind of a loud, larger-than-life figure, I would also associate with that. Matt's probably Googling it right now, so I'm going to tell one more story. I consider him, even at his age now, and I'm not sure exactly what his age now is, he is still a great entertainer, even if he's not a great wrestler at this point in time. I saw him down at Vanguard Championship Wrestling, which is now Virginia Championship Wrestling. And he came in for, there was a match going on, the good guys are getting beaten down by the bad guys. Suddenly Hacksaw Jim Duggan comes running out with his 2x4, he does his chant, everyone's screaming, he swings it around a little bit. One of them gets a little hit on the back of that, whatever. On the arm, and then they run out, and it was the perfect 2 or 3 minutes. Like, in terms of his age, like, he can obviously do that. Like, he can't do a probably 5-10 minute match, I'm going to guess. He didn't need to. He's the perfect entertainer. The dads, the moms who watched him when he was in his prime loved it. The kids loved it for the slapstick nature of it and just the kind of great entertainer. And like you, Matt, I had it as one of my speed cop moments. The fact that when you saw the pictures the following day that he was up sitting up in bed.
Big thumb up.
Yeah, with a thumb up, that was great, because that first picture that you talked about, that did not look good at all. That looked horrible. I was like, uh-oh, I can see where this bad cop moment's coming from this week. And yeah, within, it looked like it was a day later, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, next day. And I can say that this morning he was discharged from hospital.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Hacksaw Jim Duggan kicked out at 2. I was very happy about that. He's 67 gram.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's not going to be wrestling on a major matches anymore, but he doesn't need to. He's an entertainer. He's like Jimmy Hart. I've seen him on the Indies a couple of times since as well. And same thing. Like, he just needs to be there. He's an entertainer, and he will always have a part in
wrestling. He could literally walk around the outside with 2x4 over his shoulder just shouting, "Hall!"
That's it. That's it. If we're buying those autographed 2x4s as well, and yeah.
I think he could probably just make a living out of selling those, because let's face it, there are a lot of people who are a lot more blinkered than certain Americans we know who'd be eating up with a fork and a spoon. He's from Glen Falls, New York, Graham.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Born and raised there, and he's pretty much traveled all over, but he currently resides close to your neck of the woods in South Carolina.
Yeah, in Lugoff, I believe.
Mm-hmm. In where?
Lugoff.
Oh, okay. I misheard you for a second.
There's the Brit talking again. But now, my best cop moment of the week is the fact that Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the first Rumble winner, is still with us. And long may he do so.
Okay.
Graham, your good cop moment of the week.
Now, we don't normally share moments ahead of time, but there was something I shared with you guys, actually, and Tanner gave a little spoiler to it on Techers. I'm trying to hush him in the chat, like, shh, shh, shh. That's actually not going to be my good cop moment. I had to change it because I'd forgotten something. I saw midweek the fact that it was the PWI Top 150 for women. So I was like, okay, I know straight away this is going to be what's my good cop moment. So in case you didn't see the list, the top five, number one was Bianca Belair. She was 23 on the list last year. Number two, and I apologize if I pronounce this wrong, Utami Hayashishita. Oh, geez, I definitely pronounced it wrong, didn't I? Hayashishita. Number 65 last year, who I have never heard of before. Number three, Deonna Purrazzo, who was 30 last year. Number four, Britt Baker, who was 22 last year. And number five, which is Thunder Rosa, who was 14 last year. And I love it just because Not one of those people was in the top five last year. Not one of those people was even in the top 10 last year. So we've suddenly got, we talk about, we love women's wrestling over on Good Cop, Bad Cop. The fact that there's new names in that, and I love, when I saw that number two, I was like, I have no idea who that is. But you can bet, well, this weekend when I get the chance now, I am going to look up to find out, how has somebody from number 65 jumped up to number two within 1 year? I'm not sure what promotion she wrestles for, but that's really got my interest. We obviously know Bianca Belair has done great things with WWE this year. That wasn't particularly a surprise that she was number one. Thunder Rosa, we're a big fan of Thunder Rosa as well. Glad to see her getting recognition. But I'm loving this big kind of shift. We're getting some new names coming up. We've talked about in previous years. We get the same old matches, same people. I'm loving the fact that we've got some people who are starting to move, make some progress. And it's not just the same old names. It's not just Becky, Charlotte, Sasha, and whoever else you want to put on that list. Bayley, perhaps, possibly as well. I also have to, of course, go the indie side of this as well. I sometimes feel like when I'm talking on my show and people that don't watch indies, they kind of feel like, who's he talking about? Like, is he just howling at the moon kind of thing? Like, he's talking nonsense.
Some of the people, he is usually, but...
And that is true as well for most of the time. But it's great to see some of the names who I've been mentioning finally getting some actual real serious recognition. Trish Adora, 18th on that list. Oh my God, I am very humbled at my very, really cool ranking in official PWI. I'm in an amazing company on this list of the top 150 women wrestlers across the world. I'm very happy to be a part of history, as I know this is only the beginning for us. Hashtag ladies first. Lady Frost, number 52. Wow, she fought only up from here. So she's great to be there, but she's looking even further. I'm sure she will as well. Erica Lee breaking into the top 100 as well. A lot of people have helped me along this pro wrestling journey. But if it weren't for at WWE Chris Sharp, I wouldn't be half the performer I am. Onwards and upwards, list or no list, better than the day before. And also on that list, I saw Lainey Lucky is in the top 50 now as well. Jordan Blade was in the top 150. People like Willow Nightingale, Ali Catch, Janai Kai. Kaya McKenna got nominated for Rookie of the Year as well, alongside some very big names as well. Very proud for those indie people. I'm obviously always happy when they get the recognition. Until they appear on some of those bigger organizations, perhaps they don't get the recognition they deserve. And I love PWI for doing this once a year, but seeing the excitement from the reaction of those people as well.
Absolutely. This is the part where I'm going to try and do Conrad and Mags and Chris really, really proud and try and get this right the first time. I do believe that her name is Utami Hayashishita.
That's correct.
I practiced off air and I had it perfect, so I was like, okay, I can just, when I do it live, it'll be perfect. No, wasn't even close. I should have broke it up into little syllables for myself.
She has been killing it in Stardom.
Yeah.
Absolutely killing it.
Must have been, yeah.
She had one of the best matches all year, I would say, when she took on Siri for Stardom back in June 12th. So yeah, she's the Stardom world champion, essentially. I guess that she holds the most prestigious title. Yeah,
for sure. And I also really like the fact that in that top 10, because I've got the top 10 in front of me. The top 10 has three from Stardom, has two from AEW, has two from WWE, has two from NXT. It's nicely spread out, which is really, really good. I'm also very pleased to see, yes, she's been gone for a year, so I'm glad she was in the top 10, Miss Becky Lynch, because Becky Lynch will come back up there, obviously. Becky Lynch is amazing. But I was also happy to see that the daughter of... I can't say his name because I hate him that much. The daughter of a former world champion isn't on that list either, in top 10.
CM Punk's daughter wrestles?
No, I've heard him. No, he's named Phil Brooks, Graham. I'm happy to say Phil Brooks' name. Someone else who is a multiple time world champion, I would not give a credit of saying his name on this show.
Yeah, styling and profiling?
Someone like that, yeah.
Okay.
I believe Becky was number 39 on that list. And I also, if I remember correctly, for the men's, it's July to July. So I'm not sure if it's the same for the women. It might be a little bit later because it's the episode after. But yeah, Becky Lynch is pretty much based on that SummerSlam match, I'm guessing. So to be honest, I was even surprised she was as high as 39. That's no... That's no disservice to her as a wrestler or an entertainer at all, but it's just on the criteria that they're ranking these people. She'd obviously missed most of that year, so.
Well, I will say, we'll obviously come to Tanner in a moment for his thoughts on the list. We're talking between ourselves, sorry, Tanner. If you do yourself, I mean, Tanner can actually vouch for this, probably, because you watch more Japan than I do, Tanner. Tam Nakano, Graham, if you get a chance to see what she's all about, she's worth your time for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tanner, your thoughts on who's moved up and who's moved down?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I'm surprised, because all five of those ladies have had an amazing year. Just an absolutely mind-blowing year. Deonna Purrazzo went from being, I guess, cut or fired from WWE to now being considered by the fans, for the fans, amongst the top five best female wrestlers all year. So that's fantastic. Bianca Belair, I mean, she deserves all the plaudits in the world for the year that she's had. She's had an amazing year. Utami Hayashishita has had an amazing year. Goodness, who were the last two on the list? Refresh my memory.
Io Shirai,
okay, yeah. She's one of the best wrestlers in the world, period.
And Raquel Gonzalez,
that was the top five?
Top five was 10. Top five is, from top to bottom, Belair, Hayashishita, Arazo, Britt Baker, and Thunder Rosa.
Oh, well, yeah, Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, they themselves had an amazing match against each other earlier this year, and, like, yeah. Britt Baker just keeps going from strength to strength, and Thunder Rosa is actually from my neck of the woods, so, yeah. You know, she's making Texas proud.
They need to, the thing is, as I say, that's a great start, but they've got to get more out of that women's division, and WWE needs to start to go backwards. We mentioned this last week. Women's wrestling, just push it more. We want to see it. Give them chance.
Yeah. The other name I didn't mention, because I've only seen her once, but a big favorite of mine now recently, Amasha Slamovich as well, I think was in the top 30. Now she signed with Impact. I think that'll be a name that probably next year could even be higher as well. That would be one to kind of watch out.
She's going to be a big star.
Yeah. Killer name too.
Oh.
Awesome. Absolutely fantastic name. Fantastic.
Yeah, that prompted me. One of the reasons I drove up to New Jersey a few weeks ago was like, I saw who was on the card, and I was like, that's one person I really want to see before that next step up. All right, this is our speed check moment. We forgot to say, Tanner, do you have your phone at hand, or do you have something with a timer on it? So you got about perfect. All right.
He's always got a timer.
Yeah, so I don't care if it goes over a minute. I think it's funny if it goes over a minute because it winds Matt up. But we have about a minute if there is anything else that you would like to talk about that you would consider a good cop moment.
Ooh. Okay. So controversial, but since Matt didn't really touch on it, then I'll touch on it. The Crown Jewel was actually a decent show. I know everybody tends to historically like shit on the show and be like, it's, you know, Saudi Arabia. You know, obviously there's all the controversies there. And Matt is obviously very familiar because we've been ragging on the recent acquisition of Newcastle United and all of the joys that go with that. But as far as a wrestling show, if you told me, okay, well, this is just a wrestling show, undisclosed location, blah, 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 just judge it based on the wrestling. It's not bad. The Hell in a Cell is an amazing show, or an amazing match. The women put on an amazing match. Goldberg probably had his best match since his return to wrestling. And the main event was a bit of a shambles at the end, but still decent. So, yeah, that's my minute. And now, that's it. That's a minute. Yeah, see? Proof.
I took a screenshot of Matt's face so I could post it after we finished recording. This is Matt's expression during Tanner's speed check. You could see that he was hating not being able to interrupt, because he knows you can't interrupt on a speed check. Like, anything you want to add, Matt? Have you actually seen highlights at all?
I've watched it live.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you weren't.
Oh, you flew to Saudi Arabia.
I was there. In fact, there's spoiler for you, Tanner. I was the camel.
Oh! Matt Riddle rode you to the ring. Okay, that's cool.
I'm joking, of course, about all aspects of that, for God's sake. But, I did see the show, and that's actually part of my fee check.
I figured you'd mention it at some point, but I was trying to get some sort of context as to how much you'd actually seen. I watched the highlights this morning, and that's as much as I got to. All right, go ahead, Matt. Take it away.
Okay, as Hannah has mentioned, Crown Jewel was surprisingly good. Surprisingly because of how much people hate on Saudi Arabia. Things have got better. Things are going to get continually better, hopefully, no doubt. But at the same time, you know, you've going to throw me off. I've tried a little bit. You try and do that, and fantastic for it. The Hell in a Cell match, I will say in particular, is one which I adored. Tanner can vouch for this. You mentioned it already. It was probably the best match they've ever held in Saudi Arabia. And that's a great thing, because they opened a show with it and the crowd was hot the whole way through the show, which is good. A little bit upset with the main event finish, but it is what it is, sort of thing. I want. But then SmackDown, Roman commenting that he hit Brock so hard he started tweeting, which I laughed at as soon as he said that out loud. The way they wrote Brock off screen, I liked it, because the crowd had popped even more for Brock. That's pretty much all I got for this week. And in a moment he'll notice I've muted his microphone again.
Got me back. I didn't notice you'd done that. I was trying to get my timer ready. That was very sneaky.
Yeah, what you get, Graham, for trying to put me off? I can't turn the camera off, but I can mute your microphone.
Well, if you turn the camera off, I would probably notice that, because I would suddenly disappear from the screen. But yeah, that little subtle microphone at the bottom, I would definitely have missed. I agree with you, Matt. I thought the way they continued the story onto SmackDown as well, I like the fact that he's been suspended, and then now we can see how that's going to go on. My speed check, though, I want to talk about Adrenaline Championship Wrestling, which we reviewed on MGB this week. I just want to kind of do the little summary. Great prices, $40 for three seats. You can't go wrong at that. Fantastic seats. We had actual couches to sit on rather than fold up chairs. Really nice.
That's legit. Great,
some good matches. Some of them not so expected that turned out to be good. Rick Swann, that's the first time I've seen him live in person. That was great to see. Good time as well. I love those 2-hour shows. Like, I don't need to see 4 hours. Like, entertain me for 2 hours, leave me wanting more. I think you've done a good job. But the part I really loved is this is the first show Mason and I have been to since we've been back at school. Just the fact that doing the research, finding out more about the stories, chatting with Mason, we talked for over an hour. I didn't think so, because it was going to be such a short event. We've had 15-minute episodes this year because we've had nothing to talk about. But once we get back to live wrestling, that makes all the difference, and I'm hoping we can do some more soon.
If you ever want to prove that live wrestling bonds a family, there it is right there.
Especially if you can bring couches like that.
Absolutely.
So this is a shout to wrestling promoters all around the world. Get some couches. Like, that sounds awesome.
It was a lounge. It wasn't a bar. It was a lounge. And there was only two rows of seating to begin with. And then round the outs, the third row of seating was effectively was couch seating, which was like, unfortunately, we didn't get in first. We were at the back of the line. So those had kind of already gone. But further to back, away from the camera, there was some additional seating. So we sat, the boys wanted to sit on a couch, of course. I wanted to sit on a couch as well. Why don't I want a fold up chair? So yes. I sat on there, and it was comfortable. We were probably, if they had enough physical rows, we probably would have been about 12-13 rows back, so nothing ridiculous. Like, you could still see the action, and we were sat where the hard cam was as well, so we were sat right next to the hard cam, because Mason said straight away, oh, they're going to show you everything because they're going to be doing it to the hard cam. And it was really good. But yeah, great family entertainment, and that's when my passion for wrestling comes back, and I think Mason's passion for wrestling as well. So
I think I might have to have some characters in the front row at my wedding.
There you go.
Fantastic idea.
There you go.
Fantastic idea. Now, Graham, I have to ask one more thing before we move on to the bad cop stuff. Did you do what you've done the last few times you talked about Adrenaline, and that is referred to as AEW instead of ACW?
I don't think I've ever referred to Adrenaline Championship Wrestling before, actually. This was our first time at one of their events.
You definitely had a Maybe. Oh, sorry. That was EAW, and you're calling it AEW. I wonder if you're calling this one AEW instead of ACW.
It's actually EWA, but you see, you have the same problem. It's easy enough to mix them up. There's so many different
organizations. You went to EAW as well, Graham.
I have. I know. I have bought my tickets for EWA Maryland on the November 13th show, and I have a double header. I'm going straight from there. It's 2 hours away to the next Voltage. It was Adrenaline and Voltage combined. This will just be a solo Voltage one. So it's like an hour and a half up, an hour and a half across, an hour and a half back. So we're going to have a full day. Our guest, we've actually already booked. We won't announce who the guest is yet, but thankfully the guest couldn't do Saturday, so we booked it for Friday. And I was like, I'm glad, because that means I can go to these wrestling shows on Saturday now.
So, Graham, you're going to be at EWA Maryland. When do you think you're going to be there?
November 13th, I believe, is the date.
November 13th. Guys, turn up with your wrestling pads. He'll sign anything you bring him for free. Absolutely. Bad cop Mason stuff. Deal. Grabbed up cough coming up now.
Good. Bad.
All right. Oh, we got to get the giggle moment. Self-induced get the giggle moment.
The frown on your face as I was doing that. You're like, I am not fucking signing nothing.
Mason's the star of the show. He'll sign stuff for you, sure. All right, go ahead, Tanner. We talked about the good stuff. What was the main ad hoc moment of the month? I have a prediction in my head right now. I'm going to see if you're going to go with it.
Well, I feel like this would have been brought up by somebody, but if it's me going first, then I'll just address the room here. This whole title exchange thing between Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair is bullshit.
I posted a tweet just before we came on air because I had somebody posted got the trimmed clip, and yeah, bad cop moment. I can't argue in that at all. Did somebody steal your moment, Matt?
What was wrong with it?
Oh, please. It like, was childish. It was totally Tanner, it's your moment. Please, go ahead. I don't know where like, you start from, but...
We're like, what do you want me to explain? Like, this is a wrestling show. Like, we're supposed to have some kind of wrestling, some kind of competition, and you just have champions who, I get it, they're heels, but still, I feel like with Survivor Series on the horizon, with all these other things going on, you could come up with something more creative than them just like, all right, here you go, swapping the titles, and that's it. And they did the same thing. What was it? They did the same thing last year.
With yeah, the tag titles. Yes.
They just changed hands in the hallway. Like, that's yes. That's so dumb.
No, well, if it worked, didn't work, now it's fine.
What?
It's fine.
What do you mean it's fine?
So I don't want a SmackDown champion on Raw. I want the Raw champion on Raw.
Yes.
I don't think that is that. I'm not sure if that's the problem. Are you talking?
That's not the point.
Talking about the belts. Swapping or about how they swapped the belts? Because I'm talking about how they swapped the belts. That was
As long as it doesn't mean they automatically get another title reign each immediately, then I'm fine with it.
They will, but I don't really care.
Well,
about
it. Fair, the New Day and Street Profits.
I know. It's
had another championship added to their reign because they swapped their belts over.
To be honest, I would rather they give Charlotte an extra win that way, and then they don't have to get her to lose just so she can win again to get a title that way. So if it gets her one extra without having a ridiculous match, I'm actually okay with that. What I hated was how it happened. Like, they could arguing over who's going to hand the belt over first, swatting it out of each other's hand, then it being on the floor. Sonya Deville's got to act like the teacher. No, you need to pick the belt up, please, and hand it to me. And then swap. It was absolutely farcical. It was a minute of 15 seconds that didn't need to happen.
Like, we stand there heel
characters, yeah. But it looked absolutely pathetic for a professional wrestling organization to do that. I would rather Becky just like hit Charlotte in the face, knocked her straight on her ass, picked the belt up off her, and then dropped her belt on top of her. That would mean there's so many better ways you could have switched those belts than what they actually did in that ring. It looked ridiculous.
And the thing that I'm concerned with is you've been planning this draft. This has been going on for at least a month now. You didn't have the foresight to be like, hey, we probably need to do something about these belts here. let's do something inventive or creative or find a different way to go about putting the belts on the other person or dropping them to other people. Like, that's, come on now. Like, you're supposed to be the biggest and best wrestling company in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I do agree to the extent of what happened. I don't mind. I wanted to swap the belts, and that, to be fair, was fine. As you said, the way it went about it, it was a little... I will say, though, I've just had a quick check, and in terms of YouTube, it's had more views than any other video on WWE today. It's also the least disliked.
Wow. Wow. That does surprise me. Okay. Well, once again, I don't have my still, finger on the WWE pulse again, but
I will say, out of 450,000 views, it's only had 400 dislikes.
Just out of interest, is there any clips featuring Roman and Brock?
Yes.
It has more likes than that? Really?
Didn't say likes.
Watches. Say, I'm sorry. Watches.
Just check.
I quickly. Find that. Really hard to believe.
Give me a moment. Give me a
you
moment.
You said it was the most watched video on WWE today, didn't you?
Yeah, but bearing in mind that it's going by midnight American time.
That,
so.
That's fine. It's the same for all of them. But I'm just surprised that that was the one that caught people's attention and not Brock and Reigns, to be honest.
Just a quick side note, I find it funny that Matt says it's midnight American time, like there's not like four different time zones.
I was going by Eastern time.
Like American Standard Time.
With the exception of where Adam Pearce got an F5 and the actual brawl, yeah. In terms of Roman's speech, way more than Roman's speech got. Yeah.
So the Becky and Charlotte clip was number one?
Well, in terms of views, it's third, but it overall, but today most watched, yes.
Now, Tanner, he did explain earlier that his math skills are not very good, so I'm going to ask you, because I don't know if this is, I'm a little confused. Third isn't the most watched then, is it? That would be like third.
That would be correct. Third is not first. If we're going by raw numbers here,
second, is
yeah,
it?
I checked the raw data. Again. It's not the raw data says third is not first.
First of all, credit for saying data, not data. First up,
you're welcome.
It's third overall from SmackDown, but it is the most watched today, as in the 23rd of October.
Oh, okay.
So the most watched on the 23rd of October, but not the most watched overall from SmackDown.
Okay, fair enough.
Cool.
I have no idea where we are on this show.
I think it's my bad cop moment. My bad cop moment, Graham. I'm going to talk about someone who tweeted out after the Crown Jewel event. Someone who I haven't thought about properly in maybe 8 years. Someone who was billed as a future WWE champion, a guy who had been called he's the male Nia Jax to a lot of people.
Okay.
Basically, people call Nia Jax the female Ryback. Right back. And I'm going to keep this as short and sweet as I can. And this is basically me shooting on Ryback. For someone who has said, Mansoor couldn't get over with Stone Cold Steve Austin's music. Ryback, you literally asked your Twitter followers if should you retire or not. And 95% said yes. Your opinion is pointless. You are completely irrelevant. Fuck off.
That was very sweet. I did see because Mansoor responded to it and he posted that picture of that poll. So, yeah.
Mansoor, personally, I think is over. To be fair. I mean, he certainly wasn't in Saudi Arabia, but he's going to be in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. But on Monday Night Raw, they love him.
Yeah.
I want to see him get pushed as a single star now. Ali did a great... I mean, their match was good on Saudi Arabia. It was good to see them actually get some time to actually work together. I believe that's my stuff. Ali's first time in Saudi Arabia, actually.
I'm not sure.
I believe... I could be wrong. I know that there's, you know, certain things about... I know that certain people don't go to Saudi Arabia because of their heritages, etc. like that. If that was the first time he's there, then he did a good job. He really did a good job putting Mansoor over.
If Matt is wrong, or if you've had any general grievances today, don't forget at him, at the Matt Attack UK.
Indeed. I also want to make a quick correction, because 95% is not 72%. 72% in the poll said that Ryback should retire. 14% wanted
him
to go.
You're not supposed to call me out during my segment, Tanner.
I thought that figure seemed a little high, but I didn't have the numbers to hand. So, to be fair,
I didn't have a number to hand either, and I really should have had it to hand. But my point stands.
He also added at Twitter and at Twitter support in that tweet, as if he maybe had a technical problem with creating the poll. I can only assume that that's what he was trying to go for.
Now, I'm not sure if that's the original poll or the second poll, because he didn't like the results of the first poll, so he did another poll, and it was basically the same results, but, like, okay, yeah, I don't like it, so I'm going to do it again, and still everyone did it. Of course, everyone piled on even more second time, from what I can remember.
That sounds, Graham, sufficiently like what happens when a former ex-president didn't like the result, he wanted to keep going, so he got the result he wanted.
He didn't get the result he wanted, but...
No, exactly, he ended up... Yeah. He ended up losing, that's the point. You keep going and going and going to trying to get with what you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate. You know, he had a failed supplements company, I believe. Maybe it's failed, I'm not sure. Last I checked, he was selling vitamins and nutrients and protein powders and stuff like that. And
how the meat has come off the table.
I'd feed me more, you know.
Graham, your bad cop moment.
This is not my proper bad cop moment, but my Jackson's first wrestler that he really liked was actually Ryback, because he loved that feed me more thing. Like, it was something a 3-year-old or 4-year-old could repeat easily, and it was catchy. And anyway, my bad cop moment is not really a bad cop moment to sound one, but you gotta give me a little bit of time on this one, okay? So we obviously talk about, we love long-term storytelling. So I'm going to talk about something that's 65 million years in the building. I know Matt loves it when I go back to like 1970s, 1980s. I'm going back to BC today, Matt, and I'm going millions of years BC. So now you know from the clip that I sent you what I want to talk about. I want to talk about an organization. I got to look for the name here because I wasn't quite ready. JurassicFightNight.com. So this is a pitching, like, so we talk about, like, who is the best dinosaur and things like this. Like, this was a perfect conversation for the kids. They actually found this out. They've actually got different wrestlers. So we have things like the Blue Lightning Velociraptor. There's a Rowdy Roddy Raptor. The Indotaker. Steve the Spine Crusher Spinosaurus. Harry the Hammer Utah Raptor. Timmy the Tank Triceratops. Rex the Carnivore King. Stiggy the Skull Basher Stygimilok. Oh gosh, these are more difficult to pronounce than some of the Japanese wrestlers. The Devastator Dilophosaurus. El Tigre the Raptor. Max the Matador Carnotaurus. And there's like way more. They actually have a women's division as well. This is awesome. As far as I can tell, there's actually three different divisions. There's the male wrestlers, there's the female wrestlers, and I'm not sure what the third category was. I couldn't figure this out. Anyway, I was really into this. They showed, the only clip I could find so far is like a 30-second clip of these two. I don't know how life size, I don't think life size is perhaps the correct phrase, but these figures from the clip that we guys saw, I'm going to guess they might have been 10, 12 feet tall, possibly. Huge long tails. They're inside an actual wrestling ring. They're swinging their tails around, trying to knock each other over, and they kind of swing. Of course, T-Rex is useless with his little arms. I'm kind of curious to see how... This is perfect storytelling. How you can pitch up different dinosaurs against each other. Obviously, you'd think T-Rex would be the greatest, but like you say, he's got weaknesses there as well. Mm. This is awesome. This was supposed to be my good cop moment. This was supposed to be, oh, I can't wait to show this to the boys. This is so far removed from anything I've ever seen before that I definitely want to see more of this. I looked on YouTube. I couldn't find any more clips. I was like, okay, that's fine. We'll figure something out. They had a store. The link to the store is broken, so I can't find anything. I think I mentioned in the chat to you guys, if there's a DVD, I am buying this DVD, and we're watching it, and we're reviewing it on one of our shows, whatever it is. I am dying to know, as a 46-year-old man, which dinosaur is better than other dinosaurs. I want to see that tournament where they go through the first round, the semifinals. I don't know if it's straight one-on-one. Hey, they might even have three-way matches. Can you have a tag team dinosaur match? I have so many questions that I'm dying to know, and this was why it was supposed to be a good cop moment. But the reason it's the bad cop moment is I can't get any more information. I can't find anything on the store. The link is broken. I can't buy a DVD. The show that I showed you the clips from is Arizona. I can't go all the way to Arizona to see that show. So until Jurassic Fights comes over to the East Coast, it is a bad cop moment because there is definitely an audience that wants to see dinosaurs wrestling, and we're being deprived of that right now.
I got to agree. I mean, you sold it to me. I'm really invested in this now. I also want to make note of how awesome it is that after a certain point in naming creative names for the dinosaurs, they started going with Harry and Steve. very, very plain names. So, yeah, that was great.
I'm going to guess they're the jobbers.
Yeah,
I don't know what a dinosaur jobber is, but that's my image right now.
He's still working on getting over, you know.
Matt, any thoughts?
Oh boy, where do you unpack this suitcase of disaster?
More, Tanner, more.
Right. I have to agree with you, Graham, a little bit regarding the fact that you can't go to the store. That's unfortunate, for sure. Because, you know, we all like good merch, for sure. And to be fair, I like a bit of comedy wrestling. I'm a big fan of that sort of stuff,
Who said this was comedy? This is very serious.
I was chased up and down EDX by someone in a dinosaur suit, okay? So trust me when I say this, I can relate.
That sounds frightening.
It was frightening. But at the same time, Graham, the reason why I had my head in my hands and why you try and throw me up a stride by having to take a picture and show it to me, I'm going more than happy to say that you should know what the best dinosaur ever is, Graham, because I've been telling you for the past 4 or 5 years now what the best dinosaur is. Just watch Power Rangers, you'd know.
Oh, for fuck's sake, can you twist it around to some of your little...
Finally! 166 episodes, he finally drops an F-bomb! Yes!
I think that's the first time.
It is. That's the first F-bomb you've dropped. Yes!
I'm a terrible influence. I'm sorry, Graham.
Yes.
Do you want to know some of the female wrestlers in their women's division then as well?
If you could, Graham, that would be great.
Araya, the aristocrat Allosaurus, Dazzling Daisy, Dino Itus. Oh, not very good on that one. Selena Slash, the Vutyrinus. These are not easy names for little kids to pronounce. That might be one issue with their thing. Like, you want something a little catchier. Bella, the Bone Collector, Baronix. Claudette, the Countess of the Cold. Krillophosaurus, Pearl the Protector. Oh, I can't even read that one. I'm quitting while I'm behind. There is so many things when I saw. Like, when I first saw this, I only needed that 30-second clip. But I was like, I have to show you this so you have some visual idea. And I'll make sure I post this when I release the episode on Sunday. So, because I don't think you can totally imagine the awesomeness of seeing two dinosaurs in a wrestling ring, spinning around, trying to knock each other with their tails. And Yeah, this might be my new favorite organization based on just the 30-second clip. I have to see more of this, and it's an absolute crime that I can't see any more right now. It's badly affected me this week.
Given my affinity with dinosaurs, Graham, let me help you pronounce that name, okay?
Go ahead.
Pachycephalosaurus.
Oh, thank you very much. There we go.
Commonly,
I knew there was a reason I kept you on the show.
Commonly abbreviated to Pachycephalosaurus.
Ah. What a learning thing you can do with this. Like, you can get the wrestling in, you can
absolutely
do the, like, there's so much, there's just no negatives to this organization at all, as far as I can see. But yeah, to brand it as a comedy organization, Matt, that's very disrespectful of you. All right, I think we're on to the speed check round, if there's anything else that we would like to add in. So Tanner, you got up to a minute, if there was anything else bad that you noticed this week.
Red Sox got eliminated yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks. They did their best, you know. I think that with given some perspective, the Red Sox were not supposed to make it this far. This was not supposed to be a championship year, so we really overperformed expectations. But yeah, as a lifelong Boston Red Sox fan, it's always disappointing to see that you get right to the last hurdle and you just, you know, you didn't make it quite across. There's a lot of hope going into next season, though. I think that there's a lot to build from. But it's always bitter, especially to go down against such a team of cheaters like the Houston Astros.
I kept my expectations low the whole postseason until they took that 2-1 lead, and then I started to let my expectations go up, and that was a mistake. To lose on a two-hitter, that's just brutal. Like, they just had literally nothing after so many hits in a row. Kiki Hernandez set a record for most number of hits in 4 consecutive playoff games with 12. So it's not like their bats were cold or anything, but once they got to those last two games, they were literally stone cold. There we go.
They ran out of XG and they ended up going down to the Houston Astros. So here's to the Atlanta Braves. Hope you make it to the World Series. You know, that'd be awesome.
Atlanta's actually my NL team. So Braves, Red Sox, my AL team. So I was actually hoping Red Sox, Braves, and then that way I would be happy either way. But when I used to live in North Carolina, that was the local team they used to show on, I guess, TBS. So that's kind of what got started me on baseball, to be honest. But yeah, we'll keep this going. Matt loves baseball talk, so this is. He was very upset when somebody mentioned it for like, I think it was the Brainbuster Boys might have mentioned it for like 1 minute. Okay, but hey.
This is during open agenda, it's fine, Graham.
This is payback for talking about your kids' show. All right, Matt, what you got?
Okay, well, now if you talk about rounders for men, okay, we'll get on. I want to talk about the lack of respect to the Queen's Crown tournament. We joked last week about would they actually make it over 10 minutes for the winner. They did, but only just. Women's wrestling needs to be way, way better respected here, for sure. AEW and WWE still taking shots at each other, either on screen or not. Andrade putting out a tweet saying, F you, WWE. Andrade, I know you're trying to please the AEW fan, the diehard AEW fan, but really just work on your own stuff. Don't just keep trashing the people who let you go. You know, unless you are trying to get Charlotte fired. And I'm also, Graham, I'm reminded this week, Graham, someone reminded me about the WWE Hall of Fame inductions that have been going on in recent years. And I was watching them on YouTube, and I saw the one, but we were at WrestleMania 35, of course. And it reminded me that I couldn't get a Thank You China chant going.
Yes. Yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah. Although from the fact that people left from our section because there was a women's match main event in, perhaps in hindsight, that wasn't so surprising.
Maybe.
Okay. All right, for mine, we're going to be doing fan cop moments next, but Rob, UTT Rob, used the peacocking, which I thought was excellent. There are certain words that I don't think should be made into verbs. Peacock's probably one of them, to be honest. I don't like stretchered off either, for you football fans. Medaled yes. Olympics, I don't like. Matt, you're disagreeing with me, but I know you'll hate winningest. I know that's not a verb, but just in terms of language usage, I understand words change meaning. And things like that. I did not like, I think it was the number three moment on the top 10 highlights. Bianca chairs Charlotte. I think that's what it said. Do we really use chairs as a verb now? Like, if we're talking about chairs, we're talking about running committees or something like that. Did not like that at all. Did not like the Street Profits section. TW Takes and Justin did not like them either. I watched the clip afterwards. He gets knocked down. He's counting on his fingers. I'm like, come on. That was something that only Jackson would find funny. That's poor for WWE. And the passing of Mark Miro's 16-month-old great-nephew. Very sad moment there.
Very sad, very sad. Matt, what do you think about Mark Miro? That's very, very sad.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fan cop moments time, I guess, then, Matt.
Boom.
Good. Bad.
What is up? What is up? I'm Bishop TW Takes, and I'm here to let you know about my podcast, Terrible Wrestling Takes. On here, I summarize wrestling how I see it, and more importantly, as it's given to us. I also discuss some of your terrible and not so terrible wrestling takes. And whether you're a good cop, a bad cop, or even a criminal, feel free to subscribe where all podcasts are found and follow me at TW Takes Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Until next time.
Good. Bad.
All right, time for fan cop moments. We get a chance to our listeners to say things that they thought was good cop moments and bad cop moments and possibly things that we missed. I'm going to start with High Five Tom, Matt, to make sure I don't miss him because we know that's happened in previous weeks. Great cop moment, Shibata returning to NPJW and putting on a 5-minute clinic. Yeah, we had that one on our lists. Bad cop, people still using headbutts in their moveset. Have we not learned anything from Dynamite Kid, the Canadian Crippler, and now Shibata?
Unfortunately, so although I would have said Mark went to Drew McIntyre, although he hasn't used it for a while, the Glasgow Kids, has he? To be fair,
it's also like a just this weirdly xenophobic kind of like name for it, a Glasgow Kiss.
That's a Glasgow Kiss. It's just a headbutt. I thought it was xenophobic. What do they call it in Scotland?
Is that what they call it in Scotland?
Yeah.
They don't call it a headbutt in Scotland.
It's a Glasgow Kiss because. Because they'd rather headbutt than kiss you. Right.
I think that it's more used by English people than it's used by Scottish people, personally. I think it's a little insulting, as Tanner is suggesting as well.
Not at all.
Not as insulting as the pronunciation Glasgow, though, on commentary instead of Glasgow.
That I agree with, yes.
But Glasgow kiss.
At Jeremy Time 721, that's JC, best cop moment, Crown Jewel being an overall great show. Shibata coming back for a 5-minute exhibition with Sabre Jr. All hail King Woods and Queen Vega. Worst cop moment, WWE's women's title confusion and the overall Queen's Crown booking. Yes, we did touch on that, yes.
Mm-hmm. New fan cop moment from At Rules Impact. We just missed this last week because we recorded a little bit. We recorded a slightly different time. I don't think they realized when we were recording. So best cop moment, watching At Walking _ Weapon, that's Josh Alexander, and At Christian for Peeps continue to turn up the heat for their match at BFG. Well, it says in 6 days. I think it will be -1 day by the time this comes out, if I remember correctly.
Indeed, that should be a good one. Should be a good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to at Dan Griffith 21, long time commenter and occasional sitter in my theater. Best cop moment, return to the ring of Shibata in the G1 final undercard was only an exhibition versus Zack Sabre Jr., but after his near chronic injury, it's great to see. Absolutely. Worst cop moment, Kota Ibushi breaking his arm in the final. Never nice seeing a wrestler injured. No.
Yeah, definitely can't argue with that for sure. All right, I got to scroll for this one because I have to keep these in order for
me. While you're doing that, Graham, I've got something to just tack on to the internet, Graham. Oh, I didn't know about it, but Ibushi, the first wrestler to get the 4 consecutive finals
yes.
as well. Yes. I didn't know that.
I like it when our fans share that little piece, because like I say, my New Japan knowledge is horrible. So when people can put that in context for me with like little facts like that, I always, yeah, the educator in me likes to learn things like that. Bishop at TW Takes Podcast, best cop, Brock's performance in the main event of Crown Jewel, Mount Rushmore levels, and hashtag worst cop, Graham. I did ask, is there any context for this? And I didn't get a response.
Graham, he did reply.
I forgot to put, he put something, but he didn't really go. I forgot. So this is the perfect time. In the introduction, I was supposed to do an apology. I was going to do a retractment of what I did. My bad cop moment last week was Bishop. And I said, I might have misheard because I listened at times three. And he actually notified me through DMs. I did mishear. So when people were saying I hated the women's Crown Jewel matches, the Queen of the Ring tournament matches, he asked them, so what would you do about it? And most people didn't have a response, whereas I accused him of saying that he didn't have a response to it. So I got it slightly wrong, but he appreciated that I came up with some alternatives that you could use for that. So I apologize to Bishop. I got it slightly wrong. I actually listened to a podcast at times two this week for the first time in a long, long time to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Okay, Graham, reason why he's got four middle fingers after your name, Graham, is basically him basically saying that that's one in the eye for you. Yes, and that's why he then put a picture of Hornswoggle doing the socket chant afterwards.
I saw the Hornswoggle picture. Yes, I saw that one.
Indeed, Graham. So, okay, that's your one then. So my one for you then, Graham. And they say it's at UTE Rob. Good cop moment, King Woods. Absolutely. WTF cop moment, being peacocked on an episode we are reviewing and Peacock's bizarre policy that seems to have some questionable content and not explain some content removal. And AEW jumping around the schedule to inconvenient days. Peacock is a verb, Graham, by the way. It is officially a verb. It is true.
Isn't it like a mating kind of thing, peacocking?
That's a capital P on the one that Rob used.
Yeah, you kind of.
I understand that. I'm talking in the context of using it. He's making up his own word.
You kind of show what you're working with. Is that kind of what peacocking is? Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely is. Yeah.
Perhaps I got it wrong. Now, Matt, I did mention off air that I have some that you weren't aware of. So, at Dying Format, that would be Micah, of course. Good cop moment, King X wins King of the Ring. Bad, Matt running me down last week many times over not winning a game show.
Absolutely.
So, we both featured as bad cop moments this week. I think that means we did our job perfectly.
Absolutely. Come at me, Micah. I love you, brother, but come at me.
I believe there is a rematch scheduled for November, I think, I heard.
I heard a rumour. There is indeed. By the time it comes out, it'll be WrestleMania 39. I'm kidding, of course. You take your time to edit these things properly, yeah, it's fine.
When Roman finally drops the title.
Have I got any more, Graham?
I've seen at least one, but I've kind of lost track a little bit. I got one I can read if you like, then. Chat Grapple and Cheap Pops, Best Cop, Edge and Rollins, and at TW Takes Podcast, no longer being a 40-minute man. Yeah, we want a minimum of an hour from you, Bishop, okay? None of these 20, 30 minutes. That's not cutting it for your audience. And Worst Cop, everyone is now a rating/key demo expert.
I believe we have done Justin, Graham.
I couldn't remember if it was Justin or Jeremy you'd done, so that was one I was confused on, so go ahead.
Justin Time 211, obviously, hashtag book Justin. Really, yeah. He is amazing. I try to get him on Tekker, but he doesn't even watch football, so.
Micah, you don't have to watch football to watch Tekker.
Micah came on the Champions League one, so that no excuses.
Micah does watch football.
Football is like almost the least important part of Radio Tekker.
Micah's actually a Liverpool fan, Graham.
I came on when I could only see a quarter of a screen.
Yeah, see, there you go.
I could see the managers on the sidelines, and that was pretty much all I could see. And one player being followed around for the whole time. It wasn't necessarily on the ball.
Yeah,
not important at all.
You are pitched on a portal, Graham. Fantastic. Anyway, Justin says, best cop moment. Thursday to Saturday being loaded with shows, so enjoy yourselves, wrestling fans. Absolutely amazing wrestling all week this week has been. So you got the G1. If you like the G1, you had a pay-per-view on a Thursday if you wanted WWE stuff. You have Rampage, you have Dynamite, you have SmackDown, you have everything you could want. And you've also got Impact's event yesterday, if you listen to this when it goes out, but obviously Saturday. So
Freelance Wrestling. Go check it out on IWTV. It's really good.
Exactly. There's a multitude of amazing wrestling to watch. You literally have not got enough time to watch it all in live.
Yeah.
Best cut moment, Shibata returns to the ring, absolutely again. And worst cut moment, whatever WWE is doing with the women's championships. If anyone can find out, please do send us a letter to I am a complete idiot at Good Cop, Bad Cop Towers, Graham's House, America. Thank you.
Virginia. Don't forget Virginia.
That sounds like a complete address. Yeah, checks out.
He needs a state there, Virginia, and then it should be good.
I believe that's all I've got, Graham, yes.
I believe that is everything. So apologies if we did miss you. We'll put it in our late cop fan moments next week. But once again, thank you to everyone who participated. It's always good to find out those stories that we missed or just didn't quite manage to fit into our segments. And look for the post next Friday, I guess. Yeah.
Indeed.
All right, open agenda time where we give our guests the floor and they can talk about anything they like. They can talk more wrestling if they so wish, or something else that is non-wrestling related. Tanner, the floor is yours.
Oh, well, we've got a big weekend here, not only for wrestling, but also for Premier League matchups here. Currently, I'm in the middle of watching Crystal Palace versus Newcastle. It's nil-nil so far.
It's bad, isn't it?
It's not a great game. Earlier this morning, Chelsea defeated Norwich 7-0. 7-0.
I thought to point out it was 5, and they got a man sent off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man for a hat-trick.
Norwich is not great, Shakes. And then, of course...
that's generous.
with all three of us being Liverpool fans, tomorrow big matchup, Liverpool Manchester United, both teams heading into this with some really good form. It'll be interesting to see the way that things shake out in that one.
Objection, Your Honor.
I was never made a judge, but sure, go on.
Objection. Manchester United are not in good form. They've been scraping by on Ronaldo.
I mean, Ronaldo, who doesn't press at all, he's probably the laziest forward that they have, in all honesty. But yeah, I see your point. I guess what I'm trying to project to you is that Manchester United came back from being 2-0 down against a very good Atalanta team and still won the matchup. So I think that would be, if I was Liverpool, the one thing that I would be concerned about is the fact that United can change on a dime, it seems.
Yeah, I think they're only 2 points behind Liverpool. It's pretty close. When I looked at the table, I was like, they're far too close considering what I would expect. Considering their performances. So they're a team that they're gritty. Like, they hang in there. It annoys me. It's what makes me hate them even more, but they grind out results, which has sometimes been a criticism of Liverpool in the past. You know that they're going to raise their game when they face Liverpool, and obviously Liverpool will do the same as well. But no, it's set up for the neutral. It's like the perfect rivalry as far as, for me, it's the biggest rivalry in English football, as far as I'm concerned. If I had to pick one match to watch, only one match in 1 year, I would pick England. I would pick Liverpool versus Manchester United. Oh, I would pick Liverpool versus Everton, even though that's the Merseyside derby.
Biggest match in the world, Graham.
I'm not sure I'm going to go that far, but
I would.
Well, okay. there is also the El Clasico is also tomorrow between Barcelona and Real Madrid. A lot of people would argue that's the one of the biggest fixtures in the world. Rangers and Celtic, one of the biggest fixtures in the world, and then of course River Plate and Boca Juniors in Argentina, also another rivalry that's probably the most immense, probably most intense rivalry on planet Earth.
You've named two fights and and a match between two bankrupt clubs. I would say Liverpool Man United are probably the biggest game between two of the, well, let's face it, Man United is still somehow the richest club in the world, somehow. I'm not entirely sure how.
I don't know if that's accurate anymore.
In terms of like
overall valuation.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yes.
Now I know Matt's not going to understand these, but I'm sure you can give me a college football reference in a second, Tanner. But I'm thinking biggest rival is like we obviously talk Red Sox and Yankees as well.
Yes.
North Carolina Duke for college basketball. I'm obviously a big Tar Heels fan. That would be a massive one as well. I know that's not going to mean anything to you at all, Matt, until you move over here. Like, it was like, wow, I had no idea that these are so serious. And with each pocket of like America that you live in. So where my in-laws live in Ohio, Ohio State versus Michigan State, like that's the big one. And I'm going to assume you've got similar ones in Texas as well.
Oh, yeah. Ohio and Michigan was probably the one that stuck out to me right away. But I mean, here in Texas, it's you know, University of Texas versus Oklahoma, the Red River rivalry. That game's always played in a neutral spot every year in Dallas. Just because you don't want to be the away fan going into the opposition stadium. It's fun. It takes place at a fair, which is interesting. This year was particularly heartbreaking. University of Texas lost, I think, at the very last dying moments of the game after being up two touchdowns. I think it was like two or three touchdowns in the first quarter. So it was bitter defeat. But college football here in the States is actually quite localized, like, you know, English football is. So I think I think if and when Matt was to move to the United States, he would see a lot of similarities between the two.
Mm-hmm. I would like to apologize to Michigan fans for referring to them as Michigan State. Then I obviously got that rivalry mixed up. That might be the biggest insult I've delivered ever. I mean, God, I'd already done that earlier.
For me, if I were to give you a rival which I regard as being one of the biggest in the world, I actually will go to Australia for my one,
okay,
which is going to surprise you, perhaps.
Kangaroos and wallabies. Yeah.
I was going to say Toadie's wife and anyone from Neighbours, but no, actually, I was going to say the rival between Holden and Ford, which has been raging for 113 years. People have had full-on knife fights over which car is better.
Oh, jeez!
Literally, when they've had the big endurance races down there, particularly at places along the lines of Surfer Paradise and places like that, it's just been unreal. People have been told they can only drink a maximum of 24 cans of beer a day, and they've had, they actually brought that rule in a few years ago. So much, and they were so outraged by this, the Australians, when they were told about this, they turned up and buried the beer beforehand. And if you didn't drink beer, you could take wine, of course, a maximum of 6 bottles a day.
Just get the massive cans. You don't have to get the smallest can.
We're talking those sort of cans. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I think Australia's got the right idea, and then sometimes you see that and thinking like, combining that with motor racing, that doesn't work. As we saw at the 2005 American Grand Prix, which was a farce, and they threw their beer onto the track at the Indy 500.
Eek.
Yes.
Well, you know.
I get what you mean about rivalries, for sure. But for me, above all of them, it's Man United and Liverpool. It's the biggest game in the world. Between probably the two most important teams in the world.
Certainly the two most important teams in England. I mean, you've got Liverpool who have historically...
not important. Yes, it's there, yes.
Just making sure, you know, I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't a car that's about to hit my apartment. No, these are the two most important teams in England. I mean, you've got United, who have historically been media darlings, and then you've got Liverpool, who've historically just simply been the best club in England. So, you know, yeah, there you go. So I guess that's my open agenda.
What about Globetrotters and Washington Generals?
Oh yes, that would be a rivalry of all time. One of these days, those Washington Generals, they'll pull it off. I want to see them go nuts one day and just be like just dunking all over the Globetrotters and just be like total role reversal. That's
apparently they have a win. I would have loved to have seen that game. I think it's like in the 70s, but can you imagine turning up for that and seeing the Generals win and be like, what the hell happened here?
I would be cheering so hard.
I would love that.
I'm going to show up to a game with a Washington Generals jersey on.
I know the Globetrotters are like some kind of like dance troupe, basically, but can you play basketball?
They are
doing all the flashy tricks. I heard my mum once told me this, that apparently they played against the NBA champions and got their butts kicked.
I could believe that.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like WWE for basketball. It's just,
it's entertainment.
So you're saying then we should believe it's predetermined then?
So are you telling me the part that when they actually, so they were doing a move, they stopped, one of the players did like a rewind thing, and then the players started running backwards, and the guys whose shorts were around his ankles, they pulled them back up again, and things like, you're telling me that's not real?
Huh. That's not regulation?
Or when they, when they put a dress on the referee, or they took his wig off in the middle of the game, or none of that's true, none of that's real. Huh. I saw you muted me this time because it actually changed the screen. Alright, hey, we better wrap this thing up. We're nearly an hour and a half, and I know Matt's got his eyes on a pizza, so let's move on to the devil's advocate round.
You sound like a fat. I am, but.
Good! Bad!
Alright, Matt, take it away.
Okay, ladies, gentlemen, or however you choose to identify, please welcome yourselves to the space where we do the good cop, bad cop, devil's advocate round for the 166th time, no less. Myself and Graham are today enjoined by, obviously, Mr. Hannah Pruitt, and he will be taking part in this today and delivering and receiving devil's advocates, which we do not believe in, but must have. Well, should have a wrestling theme to them. For 20 seconds, we must defend them as if they are real. If you think they are real because you're an idiot and haven't listened to me probably for the last 30 seconds, then please send all of your complaints to our guest lawyer of the week, who this week happens to be at Chris Lewis 37. So, Tanner, as our guest, you get to choose to deliver or receive first.
I'll take a devil's advocate. Yeah.
Okay, so did you wish myself or Graham?
Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
Okay. Your devil's advocate, Tanner, is, and of course, if I say I mean you. Okay, so defend it as if you're saying it, as if it's the truth. Okay. The only person worse than Matt at trying to get a chant going was Freddie Schumann.
What a vague reference. Yeah, Matt has tried on several occasions to get a chant started or to make something happen on Radio Techers that did not come to fruition during a live show, with like a chant or some kind of feeling that he has. So yeah, Matt's
and time.
Who's Freddie Schumann?
Explain, please. I have no idea what's been going on for the last 20 seconds.
Freddie Schumann is a legendary Red Sox fan.
Yes.
Who passed away in 1990, I believe.
Closest I could think of was the fast bowler from Yorkshire Cricket Club in probably the 60s or 70s, but that was as far as I was getting. Nope.
Okay, so Tanner, you get return fire.
Okay. Matt.
Yes.
Roman Reigns should drop the title to Brock Lesnar at this year's WrestleMania.
I've been saying this for a while. Roman Reigns needs to drop the championship to Brock Lesnar. WrestleMania should have been like Crown Jewel should have been dropped, but WrestleMania will be fine. You know, I don't mind if The Rock's in the mix for the match as well, but I would be very happy seeing that happen at WrestleMania.
I'm hoping I get a softball like that in a few minutes' time.
that's not hard. Roman's had long enough, to be fair.
Jeez, that's the Tekkers connection there. You guys are playing it easy on each other, I think.
I'm surprised by that. Graham, please load both barrels.
I would have thought that that would have been a controversial take. A lot of people want to see him keep the title for, you know, the next decade, it seems, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like it certainly will go till WrestleMania. It certainly sounds like that, and possibly longer if certain stories are led to believe. So we'll have to see. All right, Tanner, mine for you then is the greatest wrestler to come out of the great state of Texas is JBL.
JBL is certainly one of the greatest, if not the greatest, if it simply comes down to his ability to make money outside of wrestling. He's certainly a man who knows about business and stonks, and he's got the cowboy hat. What could you not love about JBL and his penchant for violence and aggression?
He's a champion, so I did pick out like the worst wrestler ever from Texas, but I made sure it was one that wasn't certainly true though either.
You mean Shawn Michaels, Graham?
You could make your own choice. There's several picks. There's quite a few different possibilities.
I can say that because he's not from Texas.
Oh,
well, he's born in Arizona, yeah, but he claims Texas. Again, San Antonio, same neck of the woods as Thunder Rosa. Yeah,
indeed.
So on the list that I pulled up, because I googled the best wrestlers from Texas, and I needed one that was not obviously top, but kind of plausible. But then when I saw JBL, I was like, I got to go with that. So the argument was number one or number two. Which way round would you go? Would it be Stone Cold or would it be The Undertaker? That was the discussion they had on the argument. Kind of tough. Obviously, they both had great careers. That is tough.
I mean, if it weren't for what Matt had just said, I would have gone with Shawn Michaels as far as like the best wrestler. But as far as like probably the most iconic and probably the one who's had the biggest impact on wrestling, period. I mean, it's hard to deny Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I lean towards Stone Cold Steve Austin as well, but you can't deny having seen The Undertaker's entrances. Like, it's just, even at the end of his career, it's just like so. But yeah, obviously some fantastic wrestlers from Texas for sure.
I can actually beat that personally. I don't think Taker. I don't think Austin.
You had a better entrance yourself at WrestleMania, Matt, than The Undertaker. You can beat his entrance?
No, but I can beat his choice of the best ones from Texas.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
No.
I've never seen you make an entrance at WrestleMania, so I just want to be sure.
Well, keep your eyes posted at WrestleMania 42. You never know.
Oh, wow. 42?
No, you watch it happen now. Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, Eddie Guerrero.
Pound for pound, the best technical wrestler that's ever come out of Texas.
I think Eddie was third and Dusty Rhodes was fourth, if I remember correctly.
There could certainly this is the sort of thing which could be a lot of happy talk about for sure.
Oh, I think what would be interesting for Tekkers tomorrow, because I know you have the, is it StreamYard? Is that what it's called? I think you should start with, is Mags available? Is Mags on the panel tomorrow?
Yeah, I think
you should start with Tanner and Mags, like you do the little talk to begin with, and then you bring in Matt, and then we could see what his introductions are really like. And we'll see if it's as impressive as The Undertaker. I would love to see.
Matt is currently Googling how to overnight dry ice. And,
You got the giggle, Tanner.
That might be the longest get the giggle we've had from a guest. That was brilliant.
Tanner, it's your turn to give Graham his devil's advocate.
Oh, yeah. I've got to make my stopwatch ready, I guess. All right. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Oh, goodness. So you asked for a softball one, and I'll go ahead and oblige here. Local wrestling is the best wrestling.
Absolutely. I can say that nothing can beat a live audience. Matt's furious. I got such an easy one to do this one. Yeah, when you watch it on TV, you don't get the reactions. We've talked about the fact, and I talked about it earlier, the fact that being there in person, nothing can beat that. The fact you get the interactions with the wrestlers, which you just simply don't get from TV. Just being able to go with your family, and the whole experience is much better. Yeah, those were the easiest ones we've ever had, Matt. Whew. If we ever have a whole run of difficult Devil's Advocates in the future, we'll book Tanner back straight away just to give us a little respite for 1 week.
Well, I'm just going to let you know, your other one, Tanner, which I didn't give you, was I can't believe I lured myself to come on this dog and pony show. So that's one I didn't give to you. I thought it would be too easy. Right, so Tanner, you need to choose now. Who is challenging who? Me or Graham?
I'm giving you yours. I've just defended one, so Tanner's okay. Not choosing. You're getting mine. All right, this was good.
I tried.
You mentioned this earlier, so this kind of links in pretty well anyway. You mentioned this person. So, Matt, your devil's advocate comes from the PWI Top 150 Women. Ruby Soho is 134 on the Top 150. She'll be lucky to be in the Top 150 next year.
Well, this is not exactly a difficult thing to defend, Graham, because Ruby Soho is in AEW. Now, nothing against AEW, but they don't book their women very well. If you want proof of that, one of the best women they've ever had on Dark was Lady Frost. Where is she now? Nowhere near the AEW wrestler. She's elsewhere completely. She's over in Impact. This is a proof that Ruby won't be there.
Okay. Obviously, her low rating is just because she was not used on WWE at all. The early booking that she's had from AEW, you know that she's going to be back to a much higher position for next year, for sure. Unless she gets injured.
She was tagged with Liv Morgan week in, week out.
But what were they achieving with that, though, besides jobbing?
Fighting a tag champion most weeks.
Matt, I know that I'm just the guest here, but I believe the segment is called Devil's Advocate, not Personal Opinions. So I just wanted to just throw that
We're
out
there. We're not doing the advocate thing. Now he's asking me. I'm speaking like why she was being used, Graham. Anyway, time to give you yours now, sir.
Oh, okay, I'm ready.
I was going to be nice. Now I'm not going to be. Okay, if I wanted to watch a terrible show, I wouldn't watch Raw for 3 hours. I'd watch a Q&A with Alex Cara.
With who? Oh, Alex Cora. Okay, geez. Well, once you pronounce it right, I've got some idea. Yeah, well, he's a Red Sox manager, and what point would that be? Like, he came back, he's a cheater. Tanner talked about cheaters, like, phew, talk about hypocritical. Like, the Red Sox had a cheating manager, and that's why he had to take a year off from this. So, no, I wouldn't want to listen. I would definitely want to watch and find out a little bit more about the insights of how you would cheat so I could use it for wrestling. I suddenly realized I wasn't defending it at all, and I had to switch at the last few seconds, and I only left myself 3 seconds to defend it properly, so I apologize.
For the benefit, the alternative one you had, Greg, which I was going to give you because I thought it would be a much easier one to defend than that one, was Headlock Talk sucked. I'm glad it's gone.
Wow. Fuck you too.
Devil's advocate.
That's really nice when you get me to insult the guest. Like I can take it a little bit better when you're insulting me. Like I understand because you're going for a cheap dig, but when you're asking me to insult the guest, that's a little bit low.
But you say it's something we don't believe in. We have to defend it like it's true.
There are rules to devil's advocates. Like we don't put it in the notes, I don't think, but we've never used ones that are racist, sexist, homophobic, or anything like that. And I think offending your guest is probably should be added to that list. You've never sunk as low as that before, but wow.
I've probably deserved it somewhere down, somewhere along the road.
People call me bad cop. Now, if you give that one to Tanner, then that's a little different. I think that's perfect. Okay, but you can't give that to me and ask me to defend.
I'll take it. I'll take it as a bonus one.
So I've heard. Anyway, we'll move on.
Oh, jeez.
We have reached that level. Speaking of which, Tanner, on behalf of myself and Graham, thank you so, so much for being on Good Cop, Bad Cop this week. How about you tell everybody where they can get in touch with you on Twitter and about, well, we heard briefly from Ori last week how to get in touch with Hidden Attitude, but how do we get in touch about that as well?
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, first off, it's been an honor and a privilege, you know, being on your show, because this is a lot of fun. And then this is like the perfect start to a morning, is like hanging out with you guys and talking some wrestling and sharing some laughs. So thank you for having me on. This is awesome. You can find me on Twitter at TexasGentleman_, which is my personal account, or you can simply just follow us over on the Radio Techers Twitter handle, which is RadioTekkers. We started off as a football channel, and now we mostly do a little bit of everything, a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of MMA as well. In fact, I think a lot of the wrestling content may, in fact, be spun off here soon, and they might get its own wrestling channel for YouTube. So that, I think that's going to be a pretty cool move. But yeah, we just have a lot of fun talking football, talking sports, and yeah, that's really what it's all about. As for a change in attitude, you know, there's just some amazing work going on. I mean, you gotta, you know, tip of the hat to Mags, who's obviously the brains behind that operation, the mastermind. And of course, Ori is the draw. You know, she was able to get an interview recently with Kevin Kelly, which you can find that on the Radio Techers YouTube channels. And that's awesome. So yeah, just make sure to check out all the content that we've got going on. There's a lot. A Change in Attitude is where Ori, Mags, and myself review Monday Night Raws from the Attitude Era, starting from 1996, which was, boy, that's a dreadful year for pro wrestling. But
it gets better.
Yeah, it gets better. We're getting to that point where it's about to get better. And it's a very fun experience. So come watch the shows, you know, listen along after you've watched the Raw episodes, and you know, just hang out with us. That's all I can say, you know. But it's been, like I said, an honor and a privilege being here on your show this morning.
Thank you, Tanner. Matt, I have a request. Normally you kind of do your little outro and I do my outro. I think it would be terribly amiss if, after you've done your outro and I do my outro, Tanner, I would be honored if you would do your outro as well, the very last thing that we hear on the podcast, if you don't mind. Would that be all right?
My outro?
Yeah. You do your on Radio Tech as you end the same show each time. Matt always says, we're out of here. I always say, boom. You have your own little thing. I would love it if we could finish the show that way.
Yeah, I can do that.
Read notes, check boy, as she says. Okay. Again, thank you, Matt Tanner. It's a privilege as always. If you're listening to this as it goes out, it will be probably while Tech is going on. So, jump into a Tech chat after this and talk to us. Greg will be there, usually is.
Click pause. Click pause. Good Cop, Bad Cop still good in a couple of hours' time. Yeah, definitely.
But in any case, we'll be back next week, guys. We're out of here.
Boom.
Bye-bye.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/